you got to say, that's where I need to be. You may say, I get tired of people telling me to toughen up. Okay, so let's start telling you lie down and be trampled. How about that? I get tired of you telling me that, I've got to fight back. Okay, lie down. See if the devil's going to be merciful to you. See what the flesh is going to do. You might find mercy from the Lord in that state, but there will be shame attached to it. What kind of shame? The shame that you knew that that was wrong, and the shame that that is even harder than standing up.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Colossians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Colossians chapter 2 will be the text that Pastor Rick covers today on Cross Reference Radio.
What about those people who get saved in a cult? You say, how can that happen? Well, maybe they're there, and all of a sudden the lights turn on. Yeah, Martin Luther. He's going up the steps on his knees, thinking that this is the way for salvation. And God says, the just shall live by faith, not this. And he gets up and walks away. It's not an endorsement on where he was at the moment that he got saved. It's an endorsement on God's word. And so we have to be on guard lest anybody cheats you, steals from you what is yours and now is theirs and should not be theirs. Now, this steadfastness of your faith in Christ, I'm amazed at how many Christians get in a huff, leave a church, and get upset with the people who stay in the church and want them to leave too. And they don't stop. For decades, they will peck. You still there? Oh, what did they teach today? I don't believe that. And that's how they sound too. And then the other ones just get tired of being pecked and they quit. And they go join them. Then they both just talk about Saul, King Saul. What did he spend his whole time on the throne doing? Chasing David. Is that why you became king? You're a fool, Saul. I've played the fool. No, you really played the fool. You didn't say that with enough energy, Saul. You should have been running the kingdom. You should have been going at the enemies of God's people. But no, you're going after God's anointed. And Christians will do it to this day. They go after God's anointed. You want to say sometimes, what are you doing for the kingdom? Well, I'm criticizing people who are doing something. Well, sign me up. I want to be on that team. Joel talks about these destructive forces that are coming in judgment. And in chapter 2, he describes them. These are the bad guys. The good guys should have this. We should be like this, steadfast. Listen to this. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. And they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run to the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. That ought to be said about us. The enemy should be saying, these guys don't break ranks. They will bust into your position and take you out. The earth quakes when they show up. Heaven rumbles because they're disciplined. It's not a me-first attitude. It's a Christ-first attitude. Here's the recipe for messing up your Christian life. Be self-centered. That's all. Nothing more needs to be done. Just be self-centered. And there you've got it. Here's the recipe for being victorious no matter what. Be Christ-centered. That's oversimplified. No, it's not. It's truth. That's how it is. It is simplified, but it is not overly simplified. And so, again, it is hypocritical for the church to rail against the immorality in society and yet be comfortable with lies in the church. And now we come back to that last statement, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So if you're sitting in the pew in Colossae and you're not being steadfast and you hear that read from Paul with the anointing of the Spirit, you've got to say, that's where I need to be. You may say, I get tired of people telling me to toughen up. Okay, so let's start telling you lie down and be trampled. How about that? I get tired of you telling me that, I've got to fight back. Okay, lie down. See if the devil's going to be merciful to you. See what the flesh is going to do. You might find mercy from the Lord in that state, but there will be shame attached to it. What kind of shame? The shame that you knew that that was wrong, and the shame that that is even harder than standing up. It doesn't mean we do not dislike circumstances. What it does mean is we have a strategy. We have a plan. If the ship takes a torpedo, we don't just all huddle up in the corner and hold our breath waiting for the ship to sink. We do something. We know where our stations are supposed to be. What if it's wiped out all of the bridge, the captain and the helmsman and all the rest? 10,000 may fall at my left. It shall not come near me. If I'm alive, I still have to function as though I have a mission to complete. Solomon talks about those who will not work the fields because it might rain. So then starve. Well, I'm in this life just like you are. I have to pursue this ideal just like you do. So should the church and you, which is you and me, should we lower our standards? Which one of you tell, son, if you can just get a 45 on this test, I'll be happy. Well, now, if it's a test of stealing pistols, you want to get a 45. But if it's a written exam, 45 is not what you want. So I need to clarify that. My son here? Son, if you're going to... Anyway, verse 6. Now we're getting into this now. The ship is moving into the waters that we want to be in. And he says, verse 6, as you therefore... Based on everything I've just told you about steadfastness, about I'm in this fight with you, about the hidden mysteries are with Christ, about the riches and assurance there with Jesus Christ, the fact that this is a great conflict in verse 1, all of that is into this verse. It's baked into this verse. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him. It doesn't say, so mope in him, so drag your knuckles in him. It does not say, so run away and get shot in the back in Christ. Well, it does say, walk in him. John's Gospel, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, and the antecedent is Christ Jesus, as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You accept him as revealed, you are his. He gives this right. It is through grace. Technically, we have no rights. It is all grace. It is all God's goodness. We haven't deserved any of it. But in the giving of this grace, he elevates our condition, and he says, now you have the right, because you're family. It's an inheritance. That virus of sin that you have inherited from the line of Adam has been dealt with. The healing process is not going to be completed in this life, but you might as well write it down as complete. It is done. It is finished. And there's nothing you need to add to this. Just come and get it. And if you come and get it and you're Christ-centered, you won't be fretting about so many distractions. I remember years ago, an Eastern Airline plane that crashed Kennedy Airport. The flight recorder was recovered, and they realized that the entire cockpit was focused on a light bulb being out while they lost altitude until they finally crashed. Does that not describe us? Sometimes we're focused on a little light bulb while we're losing altitude, and then we crash. This is so simple. Now, when you're done today, Satan will be waiting for you, either in the lobby or outside the doors or at home, and he's going to treat you as though you don't care about these things, as though you have not learned them. He's going to say, yes, 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 Christian philosophy, I know all about it. Now, let's get down to business. Mope. whine, complain, retreat, break ranks, criticize, selfish, weak. Anything you can find that fails, I want you to grab hold of it and embrace it. And then go back to church on Sunday and we'll do it again. Now, somebody might be saying, okay, I know all that. That's what I don't like. What do you have to say to me? Do it with attitude. If you're going to be entangled, do it with the sense of grace that God's love is not undone by your failure. Oh yeah, if you want to just tell the Lord, take a hike, that's one thing. But if you're struggling and you just, I can't get this victory, a sense of cowardice overwhelms me and I retreat. And next thing I know, I'm gossiping or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. The grace of God is bigger than all that. If you don't learn that lesson, you're stuck in a rut. But once you begin to understand, wait a minute, this is like, I'm like Teflon. This stuff doesn't stick to me because of Christ, not because of me. Now Satan's nervous because now you're failing with the understanding of why Christ died. And it has expanded into areas of your life that you otherwise could not appreciate. You say, but that's hypocritical. No, it is not. It is hypocritical to say that you're strong enough to obey Christ and fail and still expect to be forgiven. That's hypocritical. Not being hypocritical is saying, I'm weak. I'm dependent on him. I want all that he has, but I can't find it. So I'm going to just trust in his grace. And that's why I said the unbelievers who are not interested in the grace of Christ, for them, the treasure is hidden. That treasure is full-blown mercy, forgiveness. You sing about it with zeal because you know it's true, but your flesh wants to debate this. End that debate. Be steadfast. And so he says again, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. There's so much more here. First off, Christ comes before Jesus in this sentence of Paul. Now, Christ is his distinction. It is who he is to the Father. More than that, but essentially, he is the anointed one. He is the chosen of God. Jesus is his name, and you shall call his name Jesus, which incidentally, footnote added to that, Emmanuel, because that means God's with us in Jesus. So to me, he is my Savior. That's what Jesus means, Savior. To God, he's the one that's chosen. There is no other. He's Christ Jesus to me now. All that he has, all that he offers, all of his grace. And he is the Lord. He is the master of it all. And I accept this even when I'm failing. Now, if you say, okay, so then I can fail and I don't care. Then you said it. You don't care about Christ. But if you say, I can fail, but I don't care about the consequence because Jesus is going to deal with this and I don't want to fail. I hate my sin. There's nothing Satan can do about that. And when you get to heaven, there are going to be people who were not good enough to get into heaven. They simply believed. They accepted the grace. That's redemption. If I tell you, you have won $1 million. If you don't come and get it, it's not going to be yours. That's what grace is. We look for all sorts of ways to communicate the superlative things because it's not natural. It's supernatural. It overcomes what happened in Eden. So God says, you know, man failed. To get man back, if you want to do it right, you got to do it yourself. God, speaking to God, to the Trinity. So Christ became a man. If you want to get something done right, you got to do it yourself. And he came and he did it right. And there is nothing on earth that is like this anywhere, nor shall there ever be. I want to take one other verse from John chapter 13. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. To receive means to believe, to accept it. I accept who you are. I accept what you have done. If I cannot take who Christ is without what he has done. If I just accept him as, okay, I accept who you are. He's sovereign. Well, that's not good for me if he's only sovereign, because that means he's big enough to squish me like a bug. But if he is also love, and out of that love he gives grace, for by grace you have been saved through faith, then I have something special. I've got something that is given by him who is powerful enough to guard it. So when he says, no one's plucking you out of my hand, you know, you can't pluck you out of my hand. You can jump out, but you can't pluck out. In other words, you can mess up, but you're still in my hands. That's what the cross is. Legalism comes natural to us because we think that I have to pay. You ever been with somebody, they insist on paying? There are those that insist on paying for lunch or something because they're just good people and they love you and they want to give. Then there are those that, I'm not going to be owing you anything. I pay my own way. Nobody's going to say they bought me a sandwich. That kind of person is like, you know what, eat alone. Knowing how to receive, understanding the spirit of what is going on. There's more to words than just the superficial meaning, but that doesn't mean we write falsities into the lines that are between the words. It means that we understand the spirit of Christ and that we embrace it. And so the salvation that we have, 1 Corinthians, and you all should know this verse. If you don't have it memorized, you should know it at least. Because if this is what it means to be a Christian. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. I received it. I didn't earn it. I did not hammer it out. And in receiving this, I noticed that the Spirit has given me a desire to live higher for Christ. And so my obedience to Jesus Christ is not to earn something from him, but I love him. I want to give back something to him because that's what love does. I obey Christ because I love him, not because I've got to earn something. The fact that he rewards me for that, that's just bonus. But it's all much bigger than that. And so he says, you therefore, verse 6, Colossians 2, receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk like you believe it, like you mean it. You can't earn it, but you can live like you've learned it. Verse 7, this is it. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Well, let's start at the bottom of verse 7. Gratitude. Gratitude is something that belongs to someone who's functioning beyond instinct. Gratitude is something that comes from someone who's thought through this. I understand you didn't have to do this for me. I understand that I don't have to do this for others, but I am grateful that I can do it for others because it has been done for me. The body of Christ. You're supposed to be Christians independent of the assembly. It's not like, well, you know, I can't do anything as a Christian without the body. No, you can do much for Christ in your body. It is the body of Christ rising up to do what she must do as individual believers. It is an army that does not break ranks. Her banners flying in the wind, her flag. It's okay to have a box of tissues as a Christian. I've got some cases of them myself. Just don't turn those tissue boxes into boxes of white flags. Don't use the tears to quit. Use the tissue. Good times are coming. Maybe not here, but they're coming there. We're supposed to live as though we've seen eternity. We Christians are supposed to live as though we've seen Jesus, the risen Lord. Is that not the ultimate game changer for the disciples? Thomas was so stripped of any sense of hope, he didn't even want to see the faces of his friends. It reminded him of all the things they thought were going to happen that did not happen. In fact, the quite opposite happened. It all was ruined. Jesus got himself crucified in front of everybody. Now what do I have? I put everything into that. My last 3 years of my life, I don't want to go with the guys. He didn't know what to do. And finally, he shows up in the room, and so does Jesus. And all of a sudden, the missing man is the moved man. And what did he say? My Lord, my God. What else could he say? Changed everything. It's supposed to be that way for us too. And I don't want to go out of this life without that. I think everything that these men have captured for us in Scripture is for us to some degree. Now, this subsumes the sovereignty of God. When Jesus said, you know, if you have faith enough, like a little mustard seed, you can tell that mountain to be moved from here to there. But that statement subsumes that God has to want that mountain moved. Now, wait a minute, I got people living up on that thing. Who do you come along? I don't like that mountain. Watch this. Prosperity teachers have not learned that. They think that they can claim. They claim jumpers. That's what they are. You just can't go to, I claim it, and you better give it up. This is a stick-up, God. I want to be rich like that prosperity pastor of mine who told me if I gave him $100, God would give me $200. What a dumb pyramid scheme. But you see what happens? They like the idea of being rich in the world and not Christ, and so they become suckers for the devil. And a few of them, as in every pyramid scheme toward the top, they make out pretty good for now. Then comes the judgment. Well, I've kind of digressed. The gratitude, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but there are times I don't feel like being grateful. I've got a mood on. I don't know why sometimes. But I have learned that I know now what's going on. I guess it's sort of like a doctor saying, you know, I'm getting pretty sick here. I can tell you what's going on. I just really can't do much about it because it's now me that is happening to. Physician, heal yourself. And so sometimes I feel something, you know, like I just may, why am I feeling so crummy? Why are you cast down my soul? Well, I know what to do. I start praising the Lord. And it's not whipping myself up. It's talking to him. It's saying, God, look, I understand that this mood I am in does not define my whole existence. That there's more to me than this. Or maybe sometimes I've done something wrong. I've said something wrong. Maybe somebody has provoked me to do what I should not have done. And the satisfaction of blaming them is not enough. And you know, there's satisfaction in blaming others. That's why I think banging your head on something is so irritating. You got nobody to blame usually. But you. You wish me, why did you hit me? You. And you can call them names and things. But if you do it yourself, you're stuck. It's just you, the dumb one. All right, I guess I've lost you. So I'll just finish verse 7 up and we'll pray and go home. Rooted and built up. Rooted going downwards. Built up going upwards. Established means matured. Not an immature person. You know, if you have a garden, you get a plant, you put it in the ground. It may take time before it gets established. But once it's established, it's hardy. It can deal with drought. It can deal with winds and harshness of the weather. And that's what we're supposed to be in Christ. And I guess I will want to cross-reference one verse in Isaiah 37. And understand, Paul says, I'm teaching you because we need to be taught. And any Christian that acts as though they don't need to be taught is probably loaded with pride. They want to be the teacher. There are many of them out there. They want to steal you away from your church so you can come do whatever it is they want to do in theirs. But they don't want anybody to do that to them because they understand that fundamentally that is thievery. You know, they used to hang horse thieves. How come now you can steal 150 horses and they don't anyway? I'm just mocking the logic and illogic of man. Isaiah 37:28. The remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. And so that's Isaiah's way of saying what Paul is saying here in verse 7. Rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught. Not as you have made it up, taught by through the apostolic succession, not according to the traditions of the elders, but the apostles and the prophets. And it's very specific. We are in need of instruction. Okay, one last verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus.
We are so glad you tuned in today to learn from the New Testament letter of Colossians on Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference Radio is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. We're honored to be able to share God's Word with you each time you tune in. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes and Google Play Music or your favorite podcast app. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the Bible right here on Cross Reference Radio.